Georgina Wade is on the line. Georgina, good afternoon to you.
Oh, good afternoon and thanks for taking my call, Dave.
What day was it last week this fire in Ballymount took place?
It started at 10:15 last Wednesday morning and it kept going right through the night till it was still smouldering at 6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
On Thursday.
And what happened?
What happened is the place that we use is a big storage unit. It's like two big warehouses put together.
Yeah.
And I believe that about 10:15 the staff realised there was a fire on the premises. And look, to be fair, they did the right thing. They got out, they stayed out. Nobody was hurt and nobody had to risk their lives to go back in and rescue you staff. But before anything could be done, the thing was all out of control.
Yeah.
I think they had 10 fire brigade units there. Huge big cranes, the smoke from the M50. It was an absolutely massive fire.
And what did you do? What was your reaction when you heard about the fire?
Oh, couldn't believe it. It's where we stored anything. Stored is the name of the company, and there's about 600 units out there. We had only in the last, I suppose, year and a half secured a small unit for ourselves. I should say I'm with the Cleft Lip and Palate Association. I'm the chair. And what we had before that was we were storing all of our material in people's attics and garages and all that kind of stuff. And it made it very, very difficult for us when we were trying to put the thing together or to know when we were running low on stock, etc. And we came across stores and we were very, very happy. We got this small unit at a very reasonable price, I may add. And we were able to put all of our bottles, which we use for new babies, and our maternity information pack, and just other pieces like, posters and paraphernalia that we use for our family day. A whole lot was in there. It was all secure. As well as the storage, obviously, if you're in a place like a store, any committee member can go and they can get what's needed, which is a great benefit because we weren't relying on people's houses anymore.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that store gave us was this fantastic facility of pick and dispatch. So if we got a call from an expectant parent, we were able to say, look, get in touch with them. They pick out what was needed, bottles, maternity packs, all of that, and send it off for us. And their prices in terms of shipping were more reasonable than on post. So, look, we were in a really great place with stores. And you can imagine on Wednesday, we just simply couldn't believe what was happening.
So all your materials there destroyed?
All of it. All of it. I mean, there was a ton of water per minute going through the unit at the height of the fire.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just incredible.
And how much, have you been able to put a value, sorry, Georgina, a value on how much material you had there and equipment?
The material we have, the bottles we have to import, the material we would have built up over a long number of years, and obviously we'd just replace as we need. So we never really counted it all together, but there's at least €8,000 worth of goods gone. Mm.
And you're a voluntary organisation?
Completely voluntary. We've no office, we've no staff, we've no government funding. Everything that we do in our spare time. We've been very lucky that parents just, out of the blue, they will contribute money and then we spend it very, very wisely. We're very tight and very small.
Okay, will you just tell us, Georgina, for a lot of listeners, I presume, that don't know about Cleft Lip and your association, the Cleft Lip and Palate Association, tell us a little bit more about why you're in existence, who you help and, I suppose, how you help them.
Well, we started about 30 years ago, but to explain what cleft is, a cleft lip is when a baby is in the womb and the face doesn't form fully. You might not know that the face forms from right to left and joins in the centre. And for babies that have a cleft lip, the mouth just doesn't join up. Now, how that appears then at birth is it appears like the baby has got a large hole in their face where their mouth should be, and it really is quite traumatic. In addition to that, there can also be a cleft palate, which is the roof of the mouth, and that too can, not be fully formed, leaving a large hole there. A baby can be born with a cleft lip or a cleft palate or both, but in all cases, feeding is a big issue. A parent's reaction is a big issue. It isn't, up until very, very recently, there was no way of knowing in advance that your baby would be born with this condition, even though it's the fifth most common birth defect in the world.
Right.
It affects 1 in 700 babies, about 140 born in Ireland every year. And for the new parent, it really is difficult. I can just relate in my own case. My daughter now is going to be 18 in June. And obviously we did all the the pregnancy, maternity bit, the labour bit. And we were at the end of it all, and my daughter was born. And really, the staff were quite shocked themselves. We had never seen an unrepaired cleft lip before. We were really, really quite taken aback. We were very fortunate at the time. There was a lovely doctor there, and he said, "You have a beautiful baby girl with a problem." And that those words really helped us. But you can imagine, we didn't know would a baby live or die, were there other complications, and we were very much at sea. People told us things, but it didn't sink in. They told us that this lip, the cleft lip could be repaired. We didn't really believe it. And it was only when we got information from the Cleft Lip and Palate Association that we were able to read all about it. We were able to look at the pictures, the before, the after. You know, we could see that there were other children, babies who were born like our daughter, and we could see these remarkable repairs.
Yeah.
I suppose in truth, we still didn't believe it.
Talk to me about the repairs, as you call it, and the treatment for cleft lip.
It's a long process, and there's a lot of no information and misinformation about this. It is all manageable, so just in case anybody out there finds themselves in this situation in the near future, I would say to them, don't worry. The first surgeries take place at about 2.5 to 3 months, and that happens to repair the lip. It's about, the operation takes, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. It's obviously in one of the children's hospitals, and I suppose that's the start of the treatment process. For children who have a cleft palate, that treatment takes place anywhere between 6 and 9 months, that surgery. And that's quite a major surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it always doesn't take the first time around, so there could be a follow-up surgery. For children with cleft lip, feeding is difficult but possible. For children with, our babies with cleft palate, the feeding is a really, really big issue. And some parents, it just works. Maybe after, you know, trial and error after first couple of weeks. But for other parents, it's a long haul to that 6 to 9 month period. Then after that, you're into all kinds of things. Speech can be affected, and that is a very big issue. And in fact, that's why we don't have any money at the moment. We're trying to do a major research project into speech therapy that will completely revolutionise the way speech therapy is delivered to children with cleft palate. And, you know, that's what we've been doing for the last year, as I say, which is why we have no money. Mm. But speech therapy is a long process for the children. Then teeth are a big issue. My own daughter's had braces on from about age 9, and she still has them, but they're going to come off now on the 31st of May, the day before her 18th birthday. So that's a long process, nearly 10 years of braces. Further along the line, there can be bone grafts to repair parts of the gum. There can be orthodontic surgery, which is major surgery that kids get in their 20s. And then there can be final lip revisions. So if I was to kind of, make it a personal story, my daughter's had 5 surgeries so far.
Okay.
If she had a palate, she could have been talking about, you know, twice that.
And how is she now?
Oh, she's in great form.
Right.
She's,
I mean, has she been able to live a normal, fairly normal teenage life, Georgina?
She has, yeah. But obviously we'd have been quite anxious at different points. And I suppose I was uncommon amongst my peers. I was pushing her to go out to discos and to find boyfriends. Yeah. That was a big issue for us. But she managed that. She's very accomplished.
Good. She's blended in. But listening to you there, it's amazing to think that, you know, families that have children born into these situations, that it's more or less left to you and the organisation, CLAPA, to actually help, that there's no other help or support available, state support of any description, available for families in this situation.
Yeah, there's nothing for our organisation. I have to say that the Dublin Cleft Centre operates out of Temple Street in Crumlin, and there's also a centre down in Cork and one in Belfast. That those, when you get to those people, everything goes very, very well. They're very competent, very organised, very empathic. Anybody who's been to Children's Hospital knows just how good Children's Hospital is.
Georgina, is it left to you guys in the Cleft and Lip and Palate Association to find the materials to help families with newborn babies?
Yes. That's what we've done. Yeah.
Right.
Because, I mean, the big thing for us is, and what we do, you see, it's you can have people come in and tell you things, but when you're slightly traumatised, it doesn't register. And that's why for us the print material is absolutely essential.
Yeah. So there's print material as well as the bottles.
That's it, and the bottles. I mean, the bottles have been a major, major issue for us because they are special feeding bottles. They can be very expensive. And, you know, to be honest with you, it's only in the last very short number of years that we could say with any confidence that there would be a bottle in the hospital to feed the baby.
Okay.
We've had experiences in the past where parents have had to literally go find a bottle and come back to the hospital. And it's just, it's a question of being organised, you know. So there's an awful lot of work that's gone into having these packs available.
But do the maternity hospitals around the country have access immediately to these bottles, for example?
That's exactly what we do now. So the maternity hospitals now keep a stock of bottles. If there is any advance warning, we make sure that the parents go in with bottles to be doubly sure. And then if a parent comes out of the hospital, they'll get one bottle maybe from the hospital. We then send them directly bottles to keep them going until they can get organised. And the other thing is with the packs, we have them in the neonatal ward and the labour ward in every maternity hospital in the country. And that's the key to victory. We need to make sure that the minute the baby is born, especially when it's unexpected, that the hospital staff can go directly to the shelf, they can get the pack and they can give it to people. Now, I mean, when my daughter was born, the internet just wasn't accessible unless you had a work internet. And you might think that things have improved and that you could go electronic, but that's not really helpful because quite often the information on the internet, it just might be out of date or not relevant.
And Georgina, so at the moment you've been left now without the print material, which, as you say, is important to help parents get through the initial shock and all of that. So do you need funding at this stage?
That's the most important thing we need now is funding. Yeah. And we're just looking for people to get onto our website, which is quite
simple. Because you've been left with nothing?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's just nothing that we have. So if we get a call in the morning from an expectant parent, we don't have anything. What we will do is we'll contact some of the hospitals that we're dealing with and we'll get something on an emergency basis, if you like. But we can't be in that situation. As parents, we know what it's like to be left in a vacuum, and the consequences are devastating. Because when people get wrong information, they don't bond properly, they're stressed, and they think all kinds of terrible things. And it's really important for the children that their parents are in the right mind by the time they leave the hospital. And just to add, like, there's no psychological services for the families or the children either. So you can imagine if we don't get this right, we're making a very difficult situation worse.
Okay, but getting back to last week, now, this, apart from losing everything, you've nowhere, once you do, actually, if you get another consignment of printing material or the bottles imported, you've nowhere to put them, do you?
No, we don't.
Okay.
As I say, we've no office, we've no permanent fixtures.
And no money, no nothing at this point in time. It's an awful situation to find yourself in, Georgina. Any insurance?
The stores have a base insurance, which is, I'm told, per unit. But the problem we have with that is that we need to get the packs now, and it's going to take whatever time. And we have to just, we're not even, we have to talk to store. They obviously have an awful lot on their hands at the moment. And we will talk to them, but we just can't rely on that. And even when it comes, it will be at a later date. But there's a big shortfall.
All right.
And you see, we didn't get our own insurance because all of this was stored in attics. And we didn't realise the cost of it because we'd never had to replace the whole lot all in one go, which might sound foolish, but it's made me relook at my own insurance.
I know, but it's a bit of a freak that happened last week. Georgina, listen, lovely to speak with you, and we'll put more information about the organisation and about maybe how people might be able to help you out on our website.
Absolutely.
So,
it's www.cleft.ie.
Cleft.
And we also have a Facebook site, which is very active, and just... Because there's people who might be out there who want to know more, they can get onto our Facebook, get onto our website, and we'd be more than happy to talk with them and more than happy to take donations too.
Georgina, thanks very much.
Listen, thanks a million for the time. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Vicky Allen, good afternoon, Vicky.
Hi, Joe.
You were listening to Georgina earlier on, talking about the Cleft Lip and Palate Association. They have a store out in Ballymount, and it went up on fire in that fire last week, and they've lost all their supplies and material and supports. Now, you're somebody whose family has benefited from the organisation.
That's exactly right. And I just felt like I had to call in and say, what a fantastic job they do for new parents like ourselves. My little boy was born with a cleft palate. And, you know, when he was born, we had no idea he was going to be born with a cleft palate. And we were, you know, totally in free fall. We were in total shock, didn't know anything about the condition. And I remember my husband speaking to Georgina, who you were talking to earlier on, when Ollie was a couple of hours old, and they gave us so much help and support.
And there's no indication, Vicky, as Georgina was saying, that this is going to happen beforehand.
I think it depends. Ollie only had a cleft palate. I think now, occasionally, they can see the lip on a prenatal scan.
Yeah.
But certainly for us, we had no indication. And, you know, you really can't prepare yourself for something like that. We didn't know anything about the condition at all. And I think the hospital kind of helps you from a medical point of view. But there's so much more to it than that. You know, how do you prepare for surgeries? How do you feed? You know, what do you tell your family and friends? And that's what Clapper really helped us with, you know, because they're parents as well. You know, they had their own personal stories and tips and advice they could give us.
And how's your little boy now, Vicky?
Oh, he's fantastic.
Good.
He's flying it. You know, he's really good. He's still having lots of speech therapy, but, you know, the future's really, really bright for him. But I can't tell you how much Clapper helped us. You know, they do such a fantastic job for volunteers.
Okay.
You know, it's such a shame that this has happened to them, you know?
Absolutely. All right, Vicky, lovely to speak to you. Thank you very much for contacting us and talking to us about Georgina there. We will, as I said, put more details about Clapper up on our website. Well, that's all we have time for today. Emma Laffin produced, Gar Duffy was in sound. Laura Lee Davies was the broadcast coordinator. I'll be back here again tomorrow at 1:45 with Liveline, and Ray Darcy is next. Good afternoon.